And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I could hear some water. So I switched off the tap on the toilet, and I could still hear the water. I thought, wow, that's really odd. So I went around out the passage to the bathroom that is on the other side of our bathroom, and I went to that toilet, and I could still hear the running, so I turned off that toilet, and I could still hear the running, so I went back to our bathroom, and I put my ear on the tap of the sink, and I could clearly hear water. So I realized that my wife was right. She didn't want to be right this time. And so I thought, well, that's simple, really. There's a basin here. There's two pipes going up to the taps. There must be some T pieces under this little bit of concrete. I'll just knock out the concrete. Must be leaking there. But now the house was built in the 70s. They really built stuff well back in the day. So the cabinet is like it was panel pinned together and glued in and nailed in. And so eventually I had to take the whole cabinet out. And I was faced with this bit of concrete on the bottom. It was about this big, about 100 mils deep. And the right-hand side, about this much, was dry. And the rest was damp. So I thought, my theory still holds. There's two pipes going up to the taps. It must be there. So I knocked out this whole concrete slab, hid the concrete under my wife's bed. Whoops, overshare. Anyway, so I chopped out this whole concrete block, and then I waited for the floor to dry because it was damp. I got to the floor of the house, nice solid concrete. And a day later, the floor had not dried. In actual fact, the two pipes, there were T pieces. The water came in on the right, went across by these T pieces, and exited to the left into the shower. This part here, under the T pieces, dry. Next to the shower, wet. You guessed it. And so then I got my jackhammer. Yeah, well, I mean, come on, what pastor doesn't have a jackhammer? I got into the shower and exposed all of the pipes and found the problem. Found that the galvanized piping that was most probably put in 1970-something had started to fail. I actually brought the piece along to show you this morning. And this is the piece in the photograph as well. That's not stock photography. Oh. That's not stock photography. Oh. That's not stock photography. That is the actual pipe. And it had just, over so many years, had just died. And the one spot, and it's actually this one, you can see the wall is incredibly thin. So somewhere along the line, one of the walls had just failed. There were other places where it was completely clogged up from about a 15 millimeter. It was at about a 3 or a 4 mil, that opening. And so I realized that was a bigger job than I'd anticipated, but I don't get scared of anything. And so I replaced the pipes in my whole bathroom. Rusty pipes. Oh no, that, don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah. This is not a job that I really want to do full time. Let me just say, wasn't that much fun. But work party, JJ's house. Rusty pipes after I'd got through this whole thing, and I had lots of time to think with my jackhammer and piping. Rusty pipes are incredibly good metaphor for sin, and sin that affects us so badly. Just as old pipes become clogged, they can leak, they can rust, they can get contaminated. Just like that, sin has a real problem to play in our lives. Rusty pipes in our house can cause so many different problems. Clogs and blockages. I realized why my shower wasn't running nice and strong. It was because of the clogging. And it happens, and it affects, well, it didn't affect my whole life. I'm happy to stay in the shower a bit longer, I guess. But it's the same thing with our spiritual lives. When we have sin in our lives, there's a blockage. God is always there. But from our side, we start to experience less and less of God because of the blockages in our lives. What about leaks? Leaks compromise the integrity not only of the pipe, but I realize now that that's a little bit of a damp on the other side of the shower was because of this pipe that was leaking in the shower. And then contamination. This water, I'm glad I wasn't drinking from the shower head. But rusty pipes can cause contamination. And the same thing happens with sin in our lives. It can cause real contamination. Paul warns us in Romans 3 verse 23. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, being a Greek scholar and going back to the original Greek and looking at that word all, do you know what it means? All. That's what it means. Everyone. Not one person is outside of sin. Not one person is outside of the effects of sin. Not one person can say, well, that's for other people. I'm above that. It's all have sinned. And if everyone has sinned, then everyone needs a savior. Everyone needs forgiveness. Just like rusty pipes, we all have areas in our lives where we need to repair, replace things. Now, those rusty pipes in my bathroom didn't suddenly look like that. It wasn't like they put them in and 3 days later they were totally messed up. It was years and years of slowly getting worse and worse. And a similar thing happens with us in sin. We have to be so careful that the slope and the slide of sin is a gentle one. The evil one doesn't come full blast. He comes subtly and gently and will distract you and lead you off and lead you astray to a point where suddenly you don't recognize yourself. But it takes time often. It can be quick, but sometimes it takes time. James warns us about this in James 1, 14 and 15. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You see the progression that this takes. This temptation can lead to death. Start small and it can grow to something really big. If it's unchecked, it can be a real problem. It can lead to death. So what about these effects? The clogs, the leaks, and the rust. Well, clogs and blockages in our spiritual lives. We become disconnected from God. It's not like God moves away. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But we, because of the sin, we pull away. How many great Christians do you know that have left the faith? It wasn't a quick decision, but you could see their lives just taking a different track. That's unfortunately what happens with this whole thing. We get disconnected from God. Well, you might have heard it. You know, I'm a Christian. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't. You need forgiveness of the Father. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and as we accept that, we are in Christ. But in order to stay there, we need to be part of fellowship. And that's where that whole argument falls flat. But these blockages can cause our spiritual growth to stop or even regress. What about the leaks in our spiritual lives? They can do damage in other areas. So we think it's just us. Sin just affects us. But it can eventually affect other people. Just like that wall that I mentioned outside our shower. Paint started to flake. If you come visit us, it's still a bit flaky. You haven't quite got there yet. The concrete slab was damp, and when I knocked it out, I thought I was going to have a real toss. But let me tell you, that concrete, that slab was so soft from being in the water the whole time. It came out really easily. Even a woman could have taken it out. I nearly broke a nail. Okay, no, stop now, stop. And then what about the rust? The rust. There's a visible sign. When I didn't know what was wrong and I eventually got these pipes exposed, there was a visible sign on the pipe. There's the problem. I didn't have water running out. I'd stopped the water long ago because I thought I'm going to get to a point where suddenly there's going to be a fountain when I unearth something. But you could see, and it's the same with our lives. As much as we like to think this is something that nobody's seeing, we must know that eventually it becomes evident to other people. And then Paul talks about what I call the ultimate danger of sin. In Romans 6 verse 23, he says the wages of sin is death. James has already said it. That sin that starts off and leads to something eventually leads to death. And here Paul's saying the same thing. Sin leads to death. We have to be so careful. We have to be so careful. Sin is a real problem. Sin leads to death. It leads to a spiritual death. So we get disconnected. We can harm those around us. We can be ugly to those around us. But ultimately, if unchecked, death is where this thing ends. So what is the solution? Well, the solution is maintenance and repair. Just like those pipes in my bathroom. Sometimes we've got to look, we've got to unearth, we've got to say, is there a problem here, and how do I sort it out? 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The first place we start is with confession. You know, if you've ever heard of people who have got a problem like a drug abuse or an alcohol abuse, something, they never are able to conquer that until they're able to acknowledge that they have a problem. And we have to be in the same place. We have to acknowledge there is a problem. And we have to confess it. Confession helps to clear the clogs of our hearts. It's a vital part of dealing with sin. Now, I will tell you that when I spoke to somebody about my debacle, you might have heard part of my shower story already, because I kind of shared it in the coffee shop and with some people. You know, when you say, how's it going, Brian? You don't expect to get like, you expect fine, hey. But some people got the whole shower story. But anyway, I mentioned it to somebody and they're like, no. Galvanized pipes will never rust. And I've got the pipe here, did actually. But we can't have that attitude either. We can't say, I'm immune to this thing, this sin. It doesn't affect me. It'll never happen to me. We have to be so careful of that. That's where we step out of grace and we step into self-righteousness. We have to say, hey, we need to be cautious of our own lives. So we confess and then repent. Acts 3:19. Repent then, turn to God, so that your sin may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. There's a place where I remember the first time I was drawn to Christ and I said my first confession of sin prayer and my first set prayer of repentance, the weight that was lifted from me, the freedom I felt. We feel that as we suddenly say, oh, I've got a problem. I need to give this to God. We feel that refreshing. So confess the sin in your lives. Repent of the sin in your lives. And when we repent, we say sorry. And we turn away. We don't go there again. Now I want to say one thing that's quite important. There's some things that you can do DIY and some things you need an expert. The shower is DIY for a lot of people. I wish we had called the expert, but anyway, it's DIY. Sin in our lives is not a DIY problem. Sin in our lives is a problem that we have to call on an expert. There's only one person that can help us with a sin in our lives. John 14 verse 6 says, and this is Jesus, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We might think there's other ways to deal with this sin. God doesn't come to our lives with a roll of duct tape and try and tape up this pipe, which I didn't do either. My wife's quite thankful for that because we would have had this problem again in a little while. But we have to deal with the problem by using the expert, and Christ is the one that can really solve the problem of sin in our lives. And there's this problem. So I replaced these pipes. I don't have a photograph of these beautiful white pipes. There's a thing called MLP, multi-layer piping. It's a new pipe. It's beautiful. It's white. It's so nice. I'm sorry I had to plaster over it because now I can't see it. But anyway, 2 Corinthians 5:17 gives us this promise. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. When we are in Christ, we are a new creation. He doesn't simply come with duct tape or kind of just replace a part. He does a full overhaul on our lives if we let him. He makes us new. We are now children of Almighty God, where we didn't have him as our Heavenly Father. Suddenly we are when we step outside of the sin and say, Lord, forgive us. So we need to confess, we need to repent, then we need to surrender. Please don't think that sin is something that you need to work out through trying. It's about surrender. We cannot deal with the sin in our lives on our own. We've got to surrender our lives to Christ and say, Lord, you sort this out. I'm sorry I've tried on my own. I'm sorry about the things that are wrong. You sort it out. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. It's not us. It cannot be us. It'll never be us. He is the one that needs to do the work in our lives. And then finally, after we've confessed, repented, and we have surrendered our lives, then environment is really important. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now we often use this scripture in terms of leadership, in terms of growing stronger. But you know, in the area of sin in our lives, it's very true as well. James says, in James 5:16, he says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Both of these scriptures are talking about the fact that other people help us in this journey. Other people help us with the stuff that's not right in our lives. Other people help us to find Christ in those difficult times. Being in a spiritual mature environment is a good place for us to be. It helps us to stay close to God and it helps us to be accountable. So take a moment and reflect on your life. Are there areas where sin has caused clogs or leaks in your spiritual lives? God offers us what we need to sort out the problems in our lives, to get rid of the rust, repair the pipes, restore the flow of His incredible grace. If we let Him, He will make us new creations. The rusty old sin will be replaced by a new creation. So how can we respond? Here's a couple of thoughts. Examine your heart. Maybe this week, maybe you just need to pray, hey Lord, highlight the sin. Maybe you know already what you need to deal with in your own life. Maybe you need to just go to God and say, what is it that I need to deal with? Then seek forgiveness, seek surrender, confess, do those things. And then find a trusted friend or a group or a mentor or somebody. You might be led to somebody to mentor in this church. Go to that person and say, I really want to be a part of your life and I want to journey with you. Can I be your mentor? Or go to somebody and say, hey, I want you to be my mentor. Would that be something that you would do? So to remember, just as we try and maintain our homes, we must also maintain our spiritual lives. Let us allow God to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and restore the flow of His love and grace in our lives. Amen.